Encourage you to sing praises to the Lord as we worship today. And it's a pleasure to have so many of our school employees and our students with us today. What a wonderful day to celebrate the beginning of a new school year by blessing the backpacks. Thank you for being here today. And with that in mind, I want to thank God for giving us today's gospel and our other readings. They're very helpful to us. Because I think sometimes we don't treasure the things that we should treasure. We don't. Sometimes we think of, we love our children, but sometimes perhaps they get a bit underfoot. Perhaps our lives and their lives aren't the same, and sometimes we have to figure out how to make good choices. But our children are indeed a blessing. And for all its faults, and I'm sure some of you think that we can educate our children better, we do a reasonably good job at educating our young people. We could certainly use some help, but we give thanks for all of our school workers, those who participate in education and those who make that education possible by maintaining buildings, by making sure things work properly. You know, it's a team. It takes a team, or perhaps a community in sorts, to keep our education process going. And we give thanks for everyone involved in it. The Sabbath day, to faithful Jews, it has a deep and rich history. It is one of the things that marks them apart from other people. There are two places in the Old Testament where the Sabbath day is particularly noted, where we have the Ten Commandments from Exodus 20 and from Deuteronomy 5. There are two references to the third commandment. We read, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in it, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it." In the book of Deuteronomy, that third commandment comes off this way: "Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath." So we see reasoning for the Sabbath as a blessing reminding us of God's good creation given to us and to certainly his people Israel, and also a reminder that there's a necessity for male and female slaves to rest. For indeed, God reminds his people Israel, they were slaves, and God brought them forth with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. So a day of rest is necessary. Our friend Martin Luther made reference to the third commandment in his small catechism by saying, "What does this, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, what does it mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear it and learn it." So the Sabbath day is a day to rest from our regular work and a day to praise and give thanks to God in worship. And so I thank you all for being here today. You are keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given to God's people as a gift. A gift so that they might not labor continuously, but one day out of seven, they would rest and praise him. They would gather and rest and praise him, and so they would be prepared for the next week. There was no other people in the biblical times that had such a weekly event, an opportunity to praise God and to rest from their work. That made the people of Israel different, but it also was a way of them observing it and protecting their faith. For indeed, if you were a faithful Jew, you would keep the Sabbath. And yet, in the Old Testament, there certainly were times when people did not keep the Sabbath. And so our friend Isaiah, the prophet, warns those people that if you refrain, by saying, if you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and a holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it by not going on your own ways, serving your own interests or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Even in the Old Testament times, there were people who trampled on the Sabbath by not keeping it, by following their own interests. And in this day, we have become a society of 24/7. So much so that people tend to work 7 days a week at all of the 24 hours, many people not continuously, but we have people working around the clock and certainly working each day of the week. Now, some of this is really necessary because we really do need firemen and policemen and first responders and people to keep us safe, people to protect us from harm. There's absolutely no reason why how this nation could function by only working 6 days during the week. But there are a lot of things that can be done in 6 days and not on the seventh. And along the way, we have kind of lost some of that. The leader at the synagogue who was criticizing Jesus wasn't doing a bad thing by criticizing him. He was trying to protect the Sabbath. He was trying to make sure that the people of Israel recognized how important not working on the Sabbath was. It was a day of refreshment for people, but it was a day also of faith. The leader of the Sabbath who criticized Jesus believed he was doing something right, but Jesus reminded him that there was something better. There was something better than not working. There was something better, which was doing the Lord's work. And his healing was doing just that. It was doing God's work. And it is good to do God's work on a Sunday. I do some of that myself. I don't mind working on Sundays. I really don't. It seems to work well for those people who come to church on Sundays. And golly, it's so nice to see you all here today, too. There'd be at least several few of you if I wasn't here or if a pastor wasn't here. In any case, God gives us a blessing. How do we use that blessing? Do we do what we should, or do we use it for our own purposes? God gives us a body. Do we use it for good things, or do we use it for things that are not good? We certainly should celebrate it and be happy with it and be joyful with it. But do we use it for the purposes that God has given it to us? You know, you can give some people money and you can tell them what to do with it, and they'll still do with it whatever they want. You know, if you give someone $100 and you say use it for a good purpose, they may use it for a purpose that's not good. The history of humanity here on earth is a history of people using what God has given them, often in ways that are not useful or productive or helpful or certainly righteous and godly and right and good. God blesses our children abundantly. They are a gift to us. Let us prize them and lead them in the right path. Let us not treat them as though they're not valuable, for of course they are valuable. But indeed, let us keep them in their faith. Let us teach our young people how important it is to follow in the path of Christ. We wander and stray in every possible direction. We live at a time of great technology, but our technology can do the same kind of things. There are opportunities to grow in faith. If you want to hear a sermon on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, you can go to the internet. You can get a sermon at a Tuesday or Wednesday. 3 o'clock in the morning, you need to have the Word of God. You can have the Word of God at 3 o'clock in the morning, regardless of whether you have a Bible or not. If you have internet service, if you have a phone, if you have a computer, there's great technology to hear God's word, to read God's word, to sing. If you want to sing hymns, there are hymns on the internet. But we use our technology the same way we use other gifts. We don't always appreciate it, and sometimes we use it in ways which are hurtful or damaging or not productive. As people of faith, let us use what God has given us. And let us use it for the right purposes. What a wonderful world we have. What wonderful things we could do if we worked with one another instead of against one another. If we prized our neighbors, even if they disagree with us. If we reached out across borders to people who are different from us, in order to learn from them and in order for us to teach them about ourselves. We can't build walls to protect us from all the things that may harm us. For that, we trust in God. And we believe that if we do what is right and good and follow in His path, everything will work out. Maybe not always the way we think, but indeed God will bless us. It is a joy to bless our young people today. It is a joy to bless all those who work for our school system. Let us support our young people and those who provide support and education through our system. And let us be a blessing to each other and this community, using what God has given us so richly for good and wholesome purposes, that indeed we might show that we indeed believe in God by how we live out our faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.